FBI Special Agent Joe O'Brien had moved to Ithaca from New York City in 1984 with specific orders to lie low for a while. He had been involved in an organized crime case. He was the principal agent responsible for placing highly sophisticated electronic surveillance equipment in the home of the late mafia boss, Paul Castellano, which eluded detection even by the experts Castellano hired to root out bugging devices. O'Brien's work had led to a series of trials and convictions of organized crime figures, and the Bureau suggested to O'Brien that he move to a nice, quiet place where nothing much happens. Ithaca, New York, was the ideal place. Compared with some of the other FBI field offices, the three-man outpost in Ithaca was one of the sleepiest. Background checks on graduates of Cornell University and Ithaca College who had applied for government jobs made up the bulk of O'Brien's caseload. The last thing he wanted was another high-profile case. When O'Brien heard of a computer virus that was sweeping the nation, his only concern was whether it would affect his home computer, an old Apple II he was using to write a book about his undercover role in infiltrating the Gambino family. The next night, when the 10 o'clock news revealed that the New York Times was about to identify the culprit as a Cornell student, O'Brien realized he had much more to be concerned about. O'Brien knew next to nothing about computers. He switched off the news and called his neighbor, a Cornell scientist in charge of the school's supercomputer center. Cornell had beaten O'Brien to the news by 30 minutes. At 9:30 p.m., the Public Affairs Office received a call from the Washington Post asking about Robert Morris. The call set off a chain reaction. The Public Affairs Officer called the Vice President in charge of computing, who called the President, the Provost, and the Computer Facilities Manager. The chairman of the Computer Science Department had already spoken with Bob Morris, and within an hour, a small group was assembled in the chairman's office. Dean Kraft, the facilities manager, combed through Morris's computer files for telltale signs. There wasn't much to see in the student's active account, so Kraft went to backup tapes. Within an hour, he found enough to be virtually certain of Morris's authorship of the virus. Among recipes and invitations to hockey games, he found two files, one called try.out and another called Stanford. Both were slightly hidden in a directory that wouldn't show up ordinarily. It was difficult to tell exactly what was going on because the bulk of the files were encrypted. He saw that the final version of the program was last modified at 7:26 p.m. on Wednesday, November 2nd, and among Morris's personal mail from the previous 2 days was a message from Greg Cooperberg, the math whiz who had helped Robert with the graphics program. Cooperberg had written Morris a message on November 3rd, warning him of a virus on the Internet.